Let's talk about dance. Tanztheater calling.
Can I move it a bit or not? That's how close we have to be?
Yes, like this.
No, just distance between us.
Is it 1.5?
Yes.
All right. So I think we can rock and roll. So I'm very happy and very delighted to have Oleg Stepanov here in the studio with me for our special Christmas edition. Thank you, Oleg, for coming.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Hello. And we were just even chatting about Christmas and about maybe the difference of Christmas, how you celebrated it, or basically New Year's for you more important? Or what are your remembrances of Christmas?
Yeah, somehow in Russia we have a different calendar than Catholic Church, because Orthodox Church use Julian calendar and it's different. So our Christmas is after New Year's Eve. And that's why somehow in Russia, maybe also because it was long time communist country and the tradition of celebrating church was over. So the New Year's Eve somehow became more fun and celebrating. But Christmas, yes, of course, now we celebrate too. And it's more like cozy family celebration.
And how you do it? Do you have special memories?
Yeah, mostly for New Year's Eve. Christmas is usually very quiet. I remember we were going to church, standing for a mass. As a child, I remember this beautiful choral singings was magical somehow.
But did you also get presents, or was it just in America? Or just
No, we get presents for New Year's Eve under the Christmas tree, all the same sort of. You know what? Me and my brother, we actually did a trick because our parents were always buying the presents before. And we always were finding them before they putting them under the Christmas tree.
But where? In the cupboard? Or?
They were, in the cupboard. We always knew what it's going to be. it was fun.
So,
it was a quest to find. And also quite often it was the gifts with candies and chocolate, because it was quite rare in the Soviet time, especially. We were finding it and we were stealing candy by candy. So when there was the moment of Christmas or New Year's Eve, the present was quite much smaller and our parents, of course, noticed that.
So they knew what you were doing.
Yeah, it was a game.
Yeah, but maybe tell us also a bit about you, your background and how you came to the company.
Yeah, it's a long story. I'm from a very small town. It's an industrial city. We have a steel factory, etc. So it's just 60,000 people. And we had like a culture club, sort of. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Somehow I came by myself to a ballroom studio there when I was 12. And it was just like a hobby. It was a ballroom studio. There was sport competitions, but I wasn't so good at it. So somehow I just did it for fun and not really seriously. And somehow after school, my parents were insisting that I had to go to technical university because I need to come back and work.
Do a proper job.
Do the proper job, and because the city is industrial, da da da. So I graduated from Department of Physics, a very serious guy, and I tried to work even, but was really boring for me because I had to work in laboratory. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I joined the dance theater group in Ural, in Yekaterinburg, where I'm from. Yeah, it was very, very fun. I started to study contemporary dance there. Was super stiff, was not coordinated, very bad. Very, very bad. But something was really like, no, I want to do it. And then somehow they took me as a stagiaire, not just for the school, but for the company. And I danced there like for 6 months. And that was the time when I realized, oh, I cannot. I have to join. I have to change my life and stop doing this.
When I was reading about you before we have like this talk, I was very fascinated about the wish to become a dancer. And it's a bit of this Christmas edition also to talk about wishes and what brings us also further. What do we hope? Was it really that the need, or a kind of that you then thought, okay, now this is my way? Or
I remember that moment when I joined the first contemporary dance class, And I didn't know what is it going to be. I just read in the information, training clothes and socks. And I thought that contemporary dance is something like hip hop or this kind of style. And then I was thought like socks, maybe I should take sneakers. So I took sneakers just for in case. I remember we were lying on the floor and the first movement we started to do. And I felt like, I felt something like a spark. That's exactly what I want to do.
But was it physical?
It was something euphorical, like it's the right moment now. The more we did it, the more I felt like, yes, that's what I want to do. And of course, there was a lot of struggle with my work, with my body, because I was completely out of the shape and not skilled. And something was really pushing me, like this desire to become like they, like to be able to do what they do and to join this magic on stage. 1 year I was taking the contemporary dance classes right after work, finishing at 5. I was running because class was starting at 6 and I was often late. But I was during 1 year every day helped me a lot to change my body habits or somehow to get to know this other universe, other world. And then I started to take different workshops from teachers abroad coming to Russia.
And what was your first contact with the Tanztheater, with Pina Bausch's work?
Actually, that group that I joined, there was a moment really bad because they didn't have money, so they couldn't pay anymore for their rent for the studio. At some point, they had to leave, and the director of that studio, he didn't want to leave. Mm-hmm. So he locked the studio, and we were there. That's a very criminal story.
Gosh,
he locked the studio.
But they locked him with you inside?
No. We could go home, but during the day, we had to stay inside being locked because at any moment, the police could come and take the space. But when there are people...
But why?
They
because
they couldn't pay anymore. There was a long
rent.
Debt.
Okay.
And at this moment, we were sitting locked in that studio. We were dancing and talking.
So
and
kind of dance lockdown.
Somehow, this director, he had a huge library of VHS tapes of different performances. I don't know how he got it. Probably through illegal sources. I don't know. And there was... Pina Bausch, very bad quality tapes. That's how I saw Café Müller, I remember, and Kontakthof. And Kontakthof was in German. I didn't understand a word, especially with Café Müller. I remember I was crying and I was sitting like, how is that possible? I couldn't believe that's possible to do, you know.
But you weren't afraid that people coming and you have to leave the room or something?
We knew that if people are inside of the studio, they cannot take it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we had to stay there all day long. Okay.
Do you still remember something what you find so fascinating?
Of course, it's hard to decode that. Mm-hmm. It's a mixture of many emotions and the method, the direction. It was a collision of intellectual and emotional inspiration or magic. The movement, the quietness, the melancholy. And at the time, of course, I thought like, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. That's what exactly I'm interested in. But then it was, of course, where's Pina Bausch and where I am? It's like
somewhere
the dream different. That will never come true. That's how I thought.
But now you sit here.
Later on, I was still following the company, hoping that they will come to Russia to perform. And then I remember when that news that Pina Bausch died came and I thought, oh no, that's now it's never gonna happen. Because somehow I thought that it will never come true, this dream, but still there was something like...
A possibility.
It's possible.
A bit hope.
And after that, I felt like, no, it's never.
But what was your wish when you entered the company? You came, which year was it?
2016, yeah. In December.
What were your expectations or the wish or...
I heard about the audition and then I thought, yeah, it's last chance now or never just to touch this, to get to know this universe from the inside. It's only now chance. So I thought I went to that audition without aiming. It was just for fun. And it was amazing. Those 3 days, my muscles were shaking. After 3 days, I was completely exhausted, but also so happy. And I'd say it very honestly now, I didn't expect that this offer will
follow.
Yeah. And then when I got it, it was very similar, the feeling that I got when I for the first time entered the contemporary dance class. When everything comes together and you realize, yes, this is it. But then, of course, you start to think, but Pina is not there anymore. Is it still But somehow, I made that decision and I joined the company.
How was it when you performed the first piece?
What was the first piece? It was Mazurka Fog. Oh, my God. It was very stressful. I didn't sleep at all. I will explain, because I was the only one who was new in the cast at that moment. So, of course, all people arrived and they usually have like 2-3 rehearsals together before going on stage. So I learned the role before. And then I have these 2 rehearsals with the whole cast. And I see the whole cast for the first time in my life. I see these legendary people. I was super stressed. I don't think I remember that it was me, actually. I was constantly in a alert situation. It was,
And what was your trust, or where did you gain trust? Like in yourself, or was it just that you had to go, okay, I just have to go through it, or I just have to close my eyes and do it?
Yeah, I think it was just right before premiere. Even on general rehearsal, it wasn't like this, but the premiere day, it was in London. Something happened. It's just like something took me over, elevated, and I just trusted. And
And what was when you were standing and doing your first applause with the company? Do you remember this feeling?
I have a picture even. Yeah, it was fascinating.
But was it proud?
Magical.
Or
I don't know. It was all of it. Proud. It was historical for me. It was like a feeling like that there is some kind of a circle that I
closed.
The same feeling I had when I performed 1980 in Antwerpen, because that's the piece that I've seen in 2006, I think it was on the tape, and I didn't understand the word, and now I understand everything, and from the inside, like, it's very special feeling,
When I was preparing this, I was like looking at a few programs, and there is one program which I found interesting. Maybe you've seen it, from the piece On the Mountain A Cry Was Heard, from 1984, and there are a lot of pictures of your colleagues in it, in front of Christmas trees, because for the Christmas it was quite interesting. But what actually does this Christmas or this feeling for this time mean to us, in the sense of nostalgia, or is this a kind of idea of hope? What do you think about hope in Pina's work? Or is it too abstract?
No, I don't think it's too abstract, but I think it is not that simple, maybe. I think hope is all the time in Pina's pieces, but there are so many other aspects of other layers of emotions and hope as well. So it's not like this hope when you get with the Christmas, this nostalgic feeling of magic and love and family and togetherness. And in later pieces, yes, there is a lot of hope and joy and celebration as well.
Do you think hope can be radical?
In what sense?
Not to bring us further on what keeps you going.
Yeah, I think it's only our species who hope. I don't know, animals don't hope. Yeah, I think if we go that direction, like evolutionary, the development of our consciousness, that's what made us start to hope also. There is some, like the realization of how everything goes or where everything leads in the end, and that we are not endless. Somehow this realization, I think it brings the nostalgic also feeling that we don't want to actually end, and that's why we come back to these memories and childhood when it was very thoughtless and without worry. And hope, in my opinion, is something that gives us not just nostalgic feeling, but something that helps us to cope with this idea. And I think Pina was very, especially her early pieces, was very much facing this idea of death, hopeless also, or struggles. And
because maybe she was also from a generation which experienced the war,
the war,
I think it's very crucial. And I think we're now also in a situation where suddenly, in the context of possible lockdowns or COVID, etc., would you think that there is a desire to hope nowadays?
No matter what happens or what situation we are in, humans, they want to hope. Otherwise, for many of them, yes, it's kind of hopeless or
then it's
meaningless.
Over. What would you hope for the company?
Maybe it's just me personally, what I would like our company, which direction to go and to develop, is also to create this discourse around Pina Bausch's work. Of course, to keep the quality and always fight for the quality also. but also to make this intellectual or archival work around it. Probably that's what somehow will happen anyway with the Pinabaus Centrum. And also, of course, to reflect on work that she and her artists made through making new art, not just in sake of making new art. I don't think this is the place that should be just the production center, whatever sake. But I think the new art somehow should be, even if not directly, but in connection to what this place was. But it's also
so in a tradition, yeah, in a way, in a good way. I mean, tradition doesn't have to be conservative. Maybe in a, as a kind of, or maybe put
no,
a different
I think
reference.
The traditions can be also questioned.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think we should be open to question. But that's what exactly, because you question the traditions, somehow you stay connected to them, even yeah, if yeah, you say something the opposite of these traditions.
We also stay connected to Christmas in a way. No, but I think it's interesting because it's about, you know, the future, but that there is a reference to the past.
Of course. And I think it's also the only our species have this, like reflecting on the past, worrying on the future. That's where the hope also comes from, because we think about the future and we want it to have better than maybe was the past. So that's where also the wish comes to have a brighter future, or at least to have strength to cope with the with whatever future comes.
Maybe as a last question, if you would have three wishes, it can be very banal, but it can come
no,
true.
No, wait, I don't know if it's good to share the wish, you know. I would like to work more on my practice mm-hmm. as a creator. I would like to, oh my God, I'm saying it, step into unknown, something that could change my perception of things.
And the third one?
And the third one, love. I wish love to all of us.
Thank you, Oleg.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! And have a lot of fun!
Yes.
Do you have a Russian Christmas song, come on, which I can quick learn, or a New Year song? But it's not too difficult.
No, we can do one.
Okay. I hope we have the copyright for that.
Are we still recording?
I think.
The song is actually also melancholic a bit.
But I hope not.
Yeah,
too
all
sad.
The Russian songs
yeah,
are
it's
Christmas
really like,
and
do you have something funny?
No, wait, but it's beautiful.
No.
And it's
but
easy
is it it's how cold is it in Russia?
No, it's melancholic but it's warm.
Okay,
melancholic.
But that's good. That's good.
Mm. Mm, it's nice.
It's very nice. Never the best
the
stuff.
Cookie, the cookie, we eat the cookie, it's very nice.
Yeah. And the cookie crumbled.
So it's like this. В лунном сиянии снег серебрится вдоль по дорожечке троечка мчится. Динь-динь-динь, динь-динь-динь, колокольчик звенит. Это он о любви говорит. Din-din-din, 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 din-din-din. Это он, это он о любви говорит. Wow!
Here we go, that's a Christmas song! But what was the text?
In the moonshine, mm-hmm. the three horses mm-hmm. are running. And the bell is ringing, din 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 din. The bell is ringing. He speaks about my love to you.
Here we go.
He says about my love to you.
Beautiful. Hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was fun.
Cool.
I was a bit stressed.
It's all right, everybody.
No, with the speed that I have to, because some questions were really like,
what the fuck?
About the hope, and I was like, fuck, I cannot, I need to think. And I'm like, my thoughts are running.